Well, there is an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. Been doing a series of lessons just on that single word of influence. Began lesson number one by stating we do have an influence and we can use our influence for good or not so good. The second lesson dealt with our influence lives on after we die. The blood of Abel yet speaks. Then we have a lesson on using our influence to fortify one another. The fourth lesson was we have an influence in the pew. When we assemble, right where we sit, there's an influence going on. And then the lesson number five was our influence when we're at work. Last week's lesson was we are leaven, and even a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And the idea that leaven will leaven. That's its purpose. Today's lesson is that is it all around the neighborhood. Our influence in the neighborhood. Many people in our neighborhood will evaluate us or Christianity by the way we live our life. Paul admonishes his brethren to live in such a manner that in 1 Timothy 5, verse 14, he says, don't give any opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Don't give him an opportunity. In 1 Timothy 6, 1, I'm going to live in such a manner that the name of God and his word is not blasphemed or spoken against. He says the same thing again in Titus 2, verse 5. Live in such a way that the word of God is not blasphemed. And when we do use our Christian influence in a not so good manner, in other words, like the leaven of the Pharisees, which was hypocrisy, James 2, verse 7 says, they will blaspheme that noble name by which you're called. So the neighborhood will notice if we preach one thing and behave differently. So Jesus said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works. They will see you. But we want to have good works so that they glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's the objective. As Dennis said in his song, you know, I remember as a child, we would sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. But one of the verses was all around the neighborhood. And especially in Vacation Bible School, the youngsters, you know, that high, and we'd like to go with our hands all around the neighborhood. And some, of course, one little boy, always it's Johnny, would swing his arm wide enough to hit his neighbor. You know, just we want to let our light shine all around the neighborhood. Even that children's song would have a verse, hide it under a bush. We say, oh no, I'm going to let it shine. Another stanza would say, don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. So yeah, we will let our light will shine. It will shine. We want it to shine in a good way. And that's what our lesson is this morning. Number one, we will influence the neighborhood. We will. Jesus prayed. You know, he says, I don't want you to take them in John 17, verse 15. I don't want you to take them, you know, Father. Don't take them out of the world. No. But I pray that you'll keep them from the evil one while we're in the world. He continued his prayer in verse 18. You sent me into the world. I also have sent them into the world. So we're in the world, in the neighborhood. Yeah, we are. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, in the Great Commission, go into all the world. That's right. We're in the world. That's point number one. Yeah, our influence will be in the neighborhood. The neighborhood. Yeah, we had a phrase that someone has used over the years. We are in the world, but not of the world. And so the admonition is in Romans 12, verse 2, don't be conformed to the world. That's right, we're in it. But we want to influence the world for good. Influence them. Number two, in your notes, I just put Jesus was an influence in the neighborhood. In Luke 2, verse 52, after he was at 12 years old, when he went home from the teaching in the temple, it says Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. Ah, that's right. He was in the neighborhood. He had influence in the neighborhood, in favor with God and man. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Peter preaches and says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power, who went about doing good. So Jesus had favor with God and man, and he went about doing good. Jesus was in the neighborhood, and he influenced people for good. Number three in your notes, that we find Christians in the Jerusalem church, in the text that was read to us, they were in the neighborhood. They influenced those around them in that city. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, you wonder, and it was in the text that Frederick read to us, you look back and think, what did they do to have such a good influence in the neighborhood? Well, here's what the text said. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. Well, that's a good start. So that's us. All right, so now I want to have a good influence on others. All right, the word of God had an influence on me. I became a Christian. I was baptized. Then it says they continued steadfastly. That means they were constant, they were dependable, they were reliable, they were stable, they were steadfast. Next phrase, in the apostles' teaching. Oh, so now they're going to have a positive influence in the community, in the neighborhood. First of all, because they became Christian and they were steadfast, continually in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. And then it says, continues another characteristic, all who believed were together. There was unity among them. They were of like precious faith, and they displayed it. Unity. They were together. In the Old Testament Psalm, in Psalm 133, verse 1, says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You see, in life, that verse says, it's good and pleasant to dwell together in unity for the brethren. You see, in life, some things are good but not pleasant. Sometimes I have to take medicine that I don't care for the taste of. It's good for me, but it's not pleasant. So in life, some things are good but not pleasant. And then the reverse is true. Some things are not pleasant, or they're pleasant but not good. Medicine is good for you but not always pleasant. Going to the dentist, that's good for you but not always pleasant. There's some things that are pleasant but not good. That's sin. Hebrews 11 verse 25 uses the phrase, the passing pleasure of sin. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 4, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that's characteristic of perilous times that Paul says. So some think, oh, the moment it's pleasure, but it's really not good because it leaves out being a lover of God. Oh, but the verse says it's good and pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's good. And that's what the brethren there did in the church in Jerusalem. All who believed were together. They were unified in helping those in need. See that in verse 45. As anyone had need. Oh, so it was the attitude, what do you need? How can I help you? What am I capable of doing for you? So they had an influence, not only on one another, but in the neighborhood. And then they were happy doing it. Verse 41, they gladly received his word and were baptized. In verse 46, they ate their food with gladness. In verse 47, they're praising God and having favor with all the people. Wow, influence? So point number one, we have it. We have influence. Point number two, Jesus influenced his neighborhood. Number three, the brethren in the church in Jerusalem influenced their neighborhood. So now we come to the point for us, in a practical sense, ways to be a good influence in the neighborhood. What can we do? Here's some suggestions. Number one, practice what you preach. Walk the talk. And the phrase I use, and don't I know you just want to amen this so badly. Mm-hmm. The phrase is, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. But sometimes you have to hear the sermon too. You see, some things are good, but not always pleasant. If you want your, and I put this in your notes, if you want your neighbor to see what Christ can do for them, let them see what Christ has done for you. Practice what you preach. Number two, be friendly. In Proverbs 18, verse 24, man who has friends must himself be friendly. Yeah, I'm going to have an influence on others around me. Need to be friendly. It's our friendship that will appreciate an invitation to attend an assembly, because we're friends. Should be easy to extend an invitation to our neighbor when we're friendly and we're on good terms. Want to be friendly to those who visit our assembly or to one another in the assembly. Be friendly. We're going to have an influence in the neighborhood, in the pew. Number three, just be kind to your neighbor. In Psalm 15, verse 1, Lord, here's the question. Who may abide in your holy tabernacle? Good question. Who? Who may abide in your holy tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Here's his answer. He who walks uprightly, works righteousness, influence. He and speaks the truth in his heart. Yeah, tell the truth. And he who does not backbite with his tongue, watch your speech. And he that does not evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. So there's a list. Who's going to dwell in God's holy tabernacle and holy hill? The ones that are kind to his neighbor. Uses influence. In Luke chapter 10, verse 25, you remember the story of the Samaritan, who's, we called him a good Samaritan. The lawyer came to Jesus with a test question. Says Jesus, what can I do to inherit eternal life? That's a good question, isn't it? What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? That's what I want. Well, Jesus answered, what does the law say? Well, the lawyer repeated the two great commandments. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And a second likened unto it, love your neighbors yourself. Jesus said, you've said well. But then the lawyer said, but who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? So Jesus answers. He tells a story of a man who fell among thieves and was left on the side of the road. A priest walks by and a Levite go by. They see the man in need, in distress, but they don't do anything. Then a certain Samaritan goes by. He sees the man, but he stops and renders aid. Well, at the conclusion of the story, Jesus said, which of the three was neighborly? The priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan? The lawyer answered, he who showed mercy on him. Jesus said, you go and do likewise. The lawyer thought he had caught Jesus in a hard question. Who's my neighbor? Love your neighbors yourself. Second great commandment. Who's my neighbor? The one that's in need that we show mercy to. So be kind to your neighbor. Be kind. Number four is maintain domestic tranquility. You probably wonder, what does that mean? Don't let the neighbors hear you shouting and bickering and yelling. You know, if you're going to do that, close the window. It's the summertime and the windows are open. You know, watch your speech, especially if it gets a little bit noisy in the house. Uh-oh. Paul told Titus in Titus 2, verse 8, use sound speech that cannot be condemned. Yeah, so I just use that for domestic tranquility. Try to keep peace in the house. And then it says, and Paul continues the verse, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that no one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say about you or influence. Yeah, even at home. That's right. Number five, when participating in the local community, many of us do this already, especially if we're parents. You know, we're involved in youth sports or PTA or various school activities. There may be a service organization that you belong to. Just support your community. In your support of the community, just be Christian. Influence in the neighborhood. Well, Penny mentioned this morning in Bible class, right here in the neighborhood, there was bring Christmas cards in because they're going to, a ladies group is going to send them to service people overseas. So if you have blank or Christmas cards that you would not going to use, bring them to the building, give them to Penny, and she'll see that they're put to good use. And you just made an involvement in a good way in the community. In the community. The last one I had, and I didn't put this in your notes, but participate in congregational activities in worship assembly. In Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Your influence in your neighborhood, when you walk out of the house to get in your car to come to Bible class or worship assembly, look happy. Look happy. I'm going to Bible class. I'm going to worship assembly. The neighbors will see that. Now, they see the way you go to your car, you know, whether it's kind of dragging or all right, let's, you know, bounce in your step. Look happy in the parking lot when you're leaving. Arriving. The neighbor's going to see that. I can see you're happy. I can see that bouncing your step when you're leaving, but I want to see that bouncing your step when you're coming into the building. Influence in the neighborhood. I wonder sometimes if there's people looking out the window when it's time for us to begin and they see people pulling in the parking lot. And I wonder if they're watching how we get from the car to the entry door. I just wonder. I don't know. It's just a thought that comes to me. Anybody looking? Look for other opportunities to bless people in the congregation. You can provide a ride. Anyone need a ride to Bible class or worship assembly? Assist with food. We've done that. Help with a household task. Anyone feeble that needs some help? You know, look around. Send a card. And I always think when I use that phrase, send a card, when I was visiting Karen Rambo, and she was very ill, and I visited with her, and when I walked in, she had all the cards that everyone had sent her lined up, you know, on the shelf, on the kitchen table. There were abundance of cards, but she had them all open so she could just keep seeing them over and over again. She appreciated those cards, and everyone does. Send a card, a word of encouragement, even in their presence. You're here this morning. Use your influence in the neighborhood, meaning those around you. There's congregational opportunities. You're going to have opportunities. I picked up these flyers. These are flyers from our bulletin board. You're going to have opportunities, and they send out letters, you know, especially during this season of the year. You know, the Westview Boys Home that we support, we send a small contribution every month, and they're going to send out, you know, help us during this holiday season. This is on the in our bulletin board. Same thing with Orphan Sunday coming up. Even if we don't send contributions as a congregation, there are individuals I know in the congregation that support Orphans Hotline on this one. We have received a letter from Steve Worley. They have an opportunity. It's a long letter, but they have a grand opportunity. We already send him support, but many individuals want to add to that. But there's a letter from Steve Worley for help with that. The Latin American missions, especially during this season, there's always a section here. We need some help. We need some additional funds for certain missionaries, and they list about three of them for support. There's India missions, but these things are on the bulletin board back there for opportunities for us to have an influence in the neighborhood, even though we as a congregation already give financial support in a measured way. But you have an opportunity. I remember my father-in-law, you know, after his passing, look at the charities that he supported. Not from us as a congregation, but he had a particular interest in that charity because of his illness. I want to support that organization that helps people with what he was suffering through or Wilma was suffering through. So I know you have individual cares and concerns in our community, but we have congregational interest at the same time. So the lesson is just simply involve ourselves. The last thing, I have just a four-line poem. I am my neighbor's Bible. Right. Here's the bring it home. I am my neighbor's Bible. He reads me when we meet. Today he read me in my home. Maybe tomorrow in the street. He may be a relative or friend or even a slight acquaintance be. He may not even know my name, yet he is reading me. You and I will be read by others in the community, in the neighborhood. So that's the lesson. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. It's an invitation for you to become a Christian if you've not done so already. Simply that great commission that Jesus gave. I want us as brethren, go into all the world, preach the gospel, the good news that God so loved the world, he sent a son. Preach that good news gospel message. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. That's the goal. That's the objection. Objective is salvation. Salvation. So that's what we preach. So at the close of every lesson, we extend an invitation. If you've not obeyed that good news message already, you have that opportunity, and we sing a song of invitation. If that's your resolve, if that's your desire, just simply come and have a seat on the front and express that at the close of the song. So let's stand together, and we'll sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. Please come.